Welcome to the Mixing Babies and Business podcast, where parenthood meets professional development. We'll be covering all things business, flexible, and remote work with kids. I'm your host, Amy Lynch, and I'll be interviewing inspiring guests who've been showing up as their full selves as parents and blurring the lines between their personal and professional lives. Visit mixingbabiesandbusiness.com to join our movement of parents seeking to invest in themselves alongside their kids. Our first guest on the podcast is Frankie Tortora. Frankie's a freelance graphic designer, mom of two, and founder of Doing It for the Kids, a community by and for freelance parents. In episode two, we talk about protecting what we've built, hitting the reset button as a creative professional and a parent, and the importance of boundaries when you're working from home. Let's get into it. It's so hard though, because you know, things start to line up and these opportunities happen and you hit launch, and then it's like it launched and now it's just not even
right
anywhere.
It's just, so many people I speak to who are freelancers and small business owners, and they literally like started in, you know, February 26th, and then boom, global pandemic, and it's just like, ah, it's just brutal. There's nothing they can do. It's not their fault. It's just total luck of the draw. But like, that is frustrating. I mean, particularly if you work, you do live events or anything like face-to-face or workshops or whatever, it's just immediately having to pivot off the bat. It's really hard.
Yeah, you said the P word. Oh. I was going to drop it there, but I'm like, you know, I can pivot, but also when it comes to, I don't know if you find this, but with creating a community, hosting events, inviting people to a space, or even holding space for people, if it's online, it requires some emotional bandwidth and some physical stamina. And then when you add a pandemic to the top of it, and you're the primary caregiver, maybe you're homeschooling, all these extra things, I just kind of shut down what I was able to do, because I just felt like I didn't have anything left over.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you kept going, to be honest, because that was the number one reason why I didn't want to create a Facebook community initially, was because I just didn't know how I would sustain it. And you've done an amazing job with inviting guest moderators, and you moderate everything, and everything is very, I don't want to say high energy, I would say it's like just positive and helpful, and people are talking about real life, and it doesn't seem to go down this rabbit hole of negativity. But I think maybe that's because you're such a good moderator.
Yeah, like if anybody's thinking about starting a Facebook group, like, do it, but massive caveat, oh my god, it just takes over your life. It's like next level. It's like having another child, basically. And yeah, throw the pandemic situation in. But how I approached that, like at that time, it very easily could have become like all consuming and heavy. And to be honest, it was heavy. Like the first couple of weeks where lockdown started, like having all these stories submitted by people whose businesses were just, you know, essentially shutting up shop overnight, and people panicking and all the rest of it. It was really heavy, and I did a lot of crying. Like I was holding those people's trauma for them, which was really hard. But part of what I did to like protect myself, but also protect the group, was to kind of separate the COVID conversation from the conversation that had been going on previously. So I set up a bunch of threads that were like, share all the COVID stuff here in these three or four places. Like, here's the latest news for freelancers to do with COVID support. Here are things for your kids and homeschooling resources. And here are articles about this, that, and the other. So, like, it was all in a very specific place rather than the group feeling, like, flooded with constant COVID stuff, which was as much to keep myself sane as it was everybody else. But I felt just very protective over what I'd built, and I didn't want it to just become another place where people were feeling overwhelmed by what was going on. I wanted to feel safe. I wanted to feel the opposite of that. So, yeah, I just tried to, like, funnel that stuff into very specific parts of the group, and then allow the conversation to continue, not in denial of what was happening, but like, you know, in a new place within the context of a new world, but the same conversation about, you know, having a business and kids, but yeah, slightly different.
Yeah. And you've said 2021 is a reboot, and one of the questions I had for you was not just for 2021, but I'm finding daily, sometimes hourly, I almost need like a reset button as a parent. For when I'm either overwhelmed or feeling uninspired, you know, it's usually kind of the opposite for me, where when I do have time to do stuff, I have so many ideas or so many things I want to do, I just try to cram it all in, and that's not always productive either. But in terms of being a creative and being a graphic designer, and you kind of touched on this with your post last night where you said, I don't even know how I'm going to do that again, or how to get back to being a designer, because you have to switch gears almost. Do you have any regular practices or things that you do to try to get you into the groove when it comes to sitting down and doing creative work?
Short answer is no. I've always struggled with that. Like, that was one of the biggest things I struggled with after I had my children and suddenly had to be creative, like, on demand. There wasn't, like, the luxury of time to think about stuff and, like, go out and ponder this brief that I've been given. I didn't have any of that. So, like, I've always struggled with shifting into that mindset, like, very quickly and having to produce stuff under pressure. I've found that really hard. How do I deal with that? Most of the time, I just kind of... chain myself to my desk and like push through the pain, basically. Like, I don't want to do this today, I don't want to do this right now, I'm not in the zone, but just forcing myself to do it. Like, there's the whole like eat the frog thing, sometimes that can help. So like sending that email that you've been putting off for ages just helps to push you over into this work mode, creative mode, whatever. But a lot of the time it usually takes like 20 to 30 minutes to like break it. But once I'm on the other side, often then I'm like, okay, cool, let's go, and really like go for it. But that like initial like half an hour trying to get into it can be really draining, and I don't really have any quick fixes, to be honest.
No, it's a, I mean, I'm like a toddler and I have
right bribes are good
myself.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, I can make this cup of tea, or I can eat this, or I can do this, or I get, you know, I can, which is false, you know, I could do that if I wanted to, but I just try to do, I do what you do, I chain myself to the desk in a way, and or I lock myself in a room so that I won't have people bursting in. Because with the whole primary caregiving thing, I've found it doesn't matter if it's your turn to do your work or you're off duty or whatever, the kids still seem to default to me. And I don't know if you found this with like other questions. Everything is like, oh, you're the problem solver, right?
Yeah, I've recently learned to drive. Somebody was telling me, you know, because normally I'm in the passenger seat and I'm the one dealing with the kids all the time, and that's fine. And then another woman said to me recently, she was like, oh, well, you know, you do know when you learn to drive, it's going to be exactly the same, but you're just going to be driving at the same time.
That's where it came from.
So like, I'd like to think my partner, Rob, will be sitting there dealing with the kids while I'm driving, but in reality, it won't be the case. So yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm trying to work on those boundaries, but it's so hard. It's so hard. Yeah, I'm always default.
Yeah.
Default problem solver, as you say. This is it.
Yeah, like they were screaming in the garden this morning before I called you. And I was like, what was happening? Because they were screaming for me. And it sounds, you know, the neighbors are going to be like, what's going on? Because they're both yelling, mommy, mommy. And there was nothing. They just couldn't see me. So,
like, well, oh. We all know, like, obviously boundaries are like number one, you know, self-employed parent 101, setting boundaries, right? But it's so hard to maintain, like, particularly if you don't have like a physical space you can go into that's separate from the rest of the house. If you're literally at the kitchen table kind of thing. I mean, that's just exhausting. Because at least I've got a door I can close. They still come in and open it. To be fair, though, my five-year-old's pretty good these days in that if I explain to him that I'm working now, he kind of gets it. And again, I try and negotiate, bribe, possibly, him with, like, when this is done, when I've had this half an hour or whatever, I'm with you and we'll do that thing you really want to do, and I will dedicate myself fully to you after this is done, kind of thing. That tends to work most of the time. Or ice cream, I mean...
Yeah. Well, I've also found, so my husband's working remotely right now and he's got meetings all the time. So the kids are seeing his coworkers on Zoom and I don't have coworkers. So I feel like, you know, I do for some things, but I don't call them all the time. And they've actually said to me, like, you don't have coworkers.
You're not at work.
Like, you're, they just respect me less, yeah. I guess, because I don't have coworkers. And they also, I don't know if yours do this, but I noticed it when I would speak at events that, you know, the baby wants to grab the microphone. That's normal. It's like a toy. And the same with your phone or your laptop. But if it's a pen and paper, they're less likely to be interested in it. But anything to do with technology, including I've only had this microphone for 2 days and my two-year-old's already grabbing it and cradling it saying, my microphone. and I don't know what to do now. I'm going to have to hide it.
Yeah, literally, before we started recording, my two-year-old was in here, like, in the mic going, "Mommy, Mommy." Like, she just knew. It was, like, she's never seen one before, I don't think, because she's usually asleep when we've been recording. Yeah, and she was just like, "What is this?" But she instinctively knew to just have a moment, have a little sing.
Thanks again to Frankie for taking the time to chat with us about how she's getting her freelance work done from home and how she sets boundaries while working from home with her family. Check out her work at doingitforthekids.net. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your network or leave us a review online. If you'd like to access parent-friendly professional development, sign up to our newsletter at mixingbabiesandbusiness.com. Our next episode will feature our final conversation with Frankie, where we're talking about working from unconventional places, including your car, and how she's investing in herself during these times. Thanks for listening.